God, the Word of God given by the Holy Spirit through the human author. And I would love for you and pray that you will accept it as the Word of God to teach us and to train us and to comfort us. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus had just healed a demon-possessed man on the eastern shores of Galilee. And now he is returning to Capernaum shore where people were waiting for him. And among those who are waiting for Jesus, who are craving for his healing touch, are a woman whose name we do not know, and a man called Jairus, in Hebrew, Yair. The woman had suffered of bleeding for 12 years, and Jairus' beloved 12-year-old daughter was dying. Well, because of time constraints, I want to focus just on Jairus and how Christ dealt with his prayer request, not on the woman who suffered from bleeding. So just focusing on Christ's care for Jairus, here then is the main message of our text. Come to Christ in prayer. Yes, come stripped of all pride before the one whose effectual call brings life out of death. And here are 3 points which carry this main message. Stripped of pride, tested, and effectual call. First then, stripped of pride. Jairus was a ruler of a synagogue, which means he was a man of high position and much respected in his community. Yet look what this highly respected Jewish leader now does. He comes and publicly, yes, in front of all the people, he makes himself low. He falls at Jesus' feet. Jesus, whom some other influential Jewish leaders were at that very time plotting to kill. However, this Jewish leader, he couldn't care less about the sentiments of his fellow Jewish leaders. His beloved 12-year-old daughter is dying. Yes, Jairus' need of Jesus is exceedingly great. And no doubt, he would have seen and he would have heard of some miracles Jesus had already performed in that very town. So Jairus knows, Jesus is my only hope. And so, stripped of all pride, he is absolutely humble. This respected man falls at Jesus' feet and implores him to come heal his one and only darling before she dies. Yes, before it's too late. My brother and sister, this is the kind of prayer which our Lord loves. Urgent, ardent, and coming from a heart stripped of pride. Perhaps that's you. Yes, perhaps you're also interceding for a spiritually sick child, a child who is currently wandering far from the Lord, a child whose actions and habits are giving you untold grief and sleepless nights. And so in tears and in absolute humility, in pain and in deep concern, you pour out your heart before the Lord. Lord, protect and save my child. Bring him, bring her back to you. Turn his or her life around. Lord, please hear my plea. The Lord loves prayer from a heart stripped of pride. Younger person, you do not yet have children for whom you could intercede, at least adult children. But that doesn't mean you're without prayer needs. Your needs may be relational. Things are not going well between you and someone close to you. Your needs may be study pressure needs, work, struggling with sin, with pornography, with adulterous thoughts. And you want to change. How great is your desire to change, to be healed? Is it great? Is it pressing? Is it urgent, like Jairus' need? Why not fall on your knees there in your inner room where you're alone with Christ? Yes, why not come stripped of all pride? I don't want to force anyone into taking a specific posture when you pray. But the posture which even in our day and age comes most naturally when the prayer need is great and urgent and the prayer is ardent still is the posture of Jairus. It's kneeling. Young person, are you sick and tired of a specific sin in your life? Really? Well, why not come stripped of pride, kneeling before your Lord? That's the heart that He loves. By God's grace, that was the stripped of pride heart of respected yet humbled Jairus. So Jesus heard his humble plea and went with him on the way to his house where his beloved daughter was and was dying. Jesus went with Jairus, an indication that Jesus had heard such stripped of pride prayer and was willing to do as was prayed for. But then something happened. Something not outside of God's will. Something which so often also happens when you and I pray. Which brings us to point two in the sermon. Tested. 8 long verses in the middle of our text describe events that certainly must have tested poor Jairus' faith. You see, he had just prayed that Christ would come heal his dying daughter. And now he and Christ and a large crowd are walking to his house. Suddenly, here comes the first test. A woman who badly needed healing received it from Christ. But the whole incident was not quickly over because a drawn-out conversation now starts between Jesus, the crowd, the disciples, and this woman. Meanwhile, you can almost see Jairus, if not literally, then at least in his mind and heart, he could well be trotting around impatiently, thinking by himself, "Come on, Jesus, please come. Stop chatting with this woman. I mean, my case is urgent. After all, my daughter is not just sick. She's dying. Come, Jesus, please, let's not lose time." So Jairus' faith is tested by this interruption, by this delay in answer to prayer. My brother and sister, I might once have told you about the parents in a church up in Auckland who prayed and prayed and prayed to God for their wayward young adult daughter. They used to leave the front door light burning at night in the hope that she would one day return. And who knows what she was up to, for after all, she had turned her back on the Lord. Then, after 15 long and drawn-out years, and by God's gracious answer to her parents' selfless, urgent, and ardent prayer, she came back to them. But not just to them. No, first, she came back to the Lord, and then to the church, and she confessed, "It was not I who found him. No, he found me." What a delay in answer to prayer. What an enormous faith tester. 15 years. May I remind you that what our Lord is doing here to Jairus is not the only delay ever in answering a believer's ardent prayer. There have been, and there still are, many such delays. Remember again, for example, when Martha and Mary, and the Bible tells us Jesus loved them, when Martha and Mary asked him to come soon before their brother died, yet then Jesus deliberately tarried so that their brother would die. Why? Well, so that many people would come to faith when they'd see Jesus raising that brother back to life, and so that God be glorified. So also in Jairus' case, it was not outside of the Lord's will that this interruption, this delay happened. Did Jairus, and in their case, did Martha and Mary at that time understand the reason for the delay? No. Just as you and I also cannot always understand the reason why our humble, ardent prayers are not instantly answered by a yes from God. So there's a faith tester for Jairus. Yes, there's this delay in Jesus coming to Jairus' house. But that's not all. You see, what Jairus so keenly wanted to avoid was that his daughter would die. For once she's dead, and so was the general thinking, then it would be impossible for anyone, also for Jesus, to do anything to save her. But look what's happening. Verse 49 tells us, while Jesus was still speaking to the woman, some men, as we're told from another gospel, not just one man, but some men came from Jairus' house and said, "Your daughter is dead." But that's not all they're saying. Now, if it's not enough that his daughter is now dead, they even add a further sting to Jairus' hopes. "Why bother the teacher anymore? Jairus, it's over. Your prayer can't be answered anymore. No one can bring back the dead Jairus, so leave teacher Jesus alone now and come home. Look, the grieving and mourning have already begun." What a shock. And what a faith tester. It's like when you have prayed so sincerely and so ardently to God to bring your young adult child home and back to church before he or she would get into hardcore sins of unbelievers. Yet now news reaches you that your child is actually already living together with an unbeliever. That your child is already into drinking, is already into drugs. Young person, it's like when you have so often prayed about that one sin in your life which you never even wanted to get into, or that you now want to get out of, but you now find yourself spinning and spinning and spiraling deeper and deeper into that very thing. Question: is it over now at this stage? Are you beyond repair? Have you out-sinned God's grace? Is His healing power too weak to save you? Well, for a moment, that might well have been Jairus' first reaction. But then Christ, as He always is, in compassionate and condescending love, picks Jairus' faith up. This is what He said, even at this advanced stage in verse 50. Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. Well, that has brought us to the last point, and that is effectual call. As Jesus came to Jairus' house, there was a great commotion. For the professional wailers, the mourners, the flute players had already arrived for the girl's burial. You see, it was Jewish custom to bury their dead soon after they had died, sometimes even on the same day. So these mourners wanted to make the most of the short time available. But our Lord put the whole crowd out of the house, saying to them, "The child is not dead, but asleep." In saying this, Jesus did not mean that the girl was not dead. Of course, she was really dead. The mourners' very own reaction as they mocked Jesus served as confirmation of this girl's passing. Rather, Jesus' words meant as much as, "Yes, she is dead, but for me, her being dead is nothing. I will simply wake her as you wake somebody from a sleep." So, having chased out those mourners, Christ took with Him into the dead girl's room only her parents and only the three disciples in the inner circle, Peter, John, and James. That's my name and my two middle names. Peter, John, and James. Only in Afrikaans, but you will laugh if I tell you. Peter, Johannes, Jacobus. Of course, it would have been unwise to take all the disciples into that small room, for that would be too crowded. But our Lord took three disciples with Him so that according to Moses' law, they could be the required 2 to 3 witnesses needed to later on confirm the truthfulness of what had happened there. Well, now Jesus takes the dead girl by the hand, much the same as you and I would take a sleeping, lying person by the hand, ready to help him or her up. Then we read a wonderful word in verse 54, the word called. Jesus, taking her by the hand, called. My brother and sister, what a picture of how God calls people who are dead in sin. Yes, how He powerfully and effectually, without them helping Him, calls them to eternal life. Young person, child, have you received Jesus with all your heart? Did you know that at this very moment, as God's word is being preached, His gospel call goes out to your heart? Jesus is calling you right now. He says, take me, receive me. His gospel call goes out. Granted, always when Jesus' word is preached, there is something which we call the outward call, which means that some people only outwardly hear the gospel call of Jesus, but they won't hear that inward call of the gospel, that call of Jesus, which by an inworking of the Holy Spirit changes the boy, changes the girl, changes the adult who is spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. If you only hear the outward call of Jesus, not the inward call, then you are only hearing, but you're not listening. But Jesus once said, he who has an ear, let him hear, let him listen, let him take to heart, let him obey what the Spirit says to the churches. And so, dear boy, dear girl, dear young person, here is my question to you. Are you listening? Are you listening when you hear Jesus calling through the preaching of His word? Verse 54 tells us that Jesus, taking the hand of the dead girl, called. What was He calling for? Well, as verse 55 reveals, He was calling for her spirit to return to her body. And according to Mark, Jesus' words came out in His mother tongue, in Aramaic, and He said, Talita kumi. Talita means little girl. In Wainuiu Mata, we have a young lady there. Her name is Talita. Little girl, get up. And verse 55 says, her spirit returned, and she got up at once. My brother and sister, young person, child, do you realize that what Jesus did here in Jairus' house, He will do again when He returns? Yes, Jesus will call people back to life, in fact, to eternal life. Yes, even if their bodies are destroyed and mere ashes, looking way worse than this little girl's body who had just died, He will still powerfully and effectually do what He did with Jairus' daughter, returning her spirit with her body, reuniting them, and calling His loved ones back to life. Only this time, Jesus will give them glorified bodies, bodies that can never again die, bodies that will look like His. You ask, Pastor, with whom will He do this? Well, only with those who have received Him when He called, as His word was preached here on earth. If you've heard the inward call, you will be awakened by him. But here is something important. Our text and its parallels in Matthew and Mark tell us that this little girl gave proof that she had been made alive. How? Well, Mark tells us that she not only got up, but that she walked around and that she even ate some food. Are not walking and eating proof that she who was dead was now alive? My brother and sister, young person, children, what proof does your life show that you have been made spiritually alive by Jesus? That you are no longer dead in your sin and trespasses, Ephesians 2 verse 1. That you have the proof of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you show love for God and his people? How about joy and peace? We're going through Galatians 5 verse 22. How about showing patience? And what about kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness? And how about exercising self-control? May it be so that Jesus, who holds the key to life and death, yes, he who even proves that by he himself rising from the dead. May it be that you have listened when he called and that he is your Lord. Amen. Let us come to him in prayer. Most holy and almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord, thank you for showing us again, reminding us that your call is powerful and effectual, and that your calling will never fail. And so, Lord, we pray that we will hear your calling, that we will not just have ears as organs on the outside of our heads, but that we will hear the inward calling and love you, turn to you, and live for you. Lord, how we are looking forward to that day when you make us eternally alive, also our bodies, glorifying us. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Hear our prayer in your name. Amen. Shall we stand to sing number 298? Jesus lives, and so shall I.